The idea of the YouTube videos, the website, does that help you get your ideas out to more than just the students here on the USF campus?
I get emails every day from all over the world, either telling me that they like the videos which I have put up on YouTube, or they may simply be asking questions about some doubts they may have about some of the methods which have been described in the YouTube lectures. It's a course which almost half of the engineering students take all over the world. So it's a core course, so it's not like an elective course. So a lot of people have issues with understanding the subject matter. They may not understand it in the class itself because most of the classes are only 50-minute lectures. But if they want to review the material, it's a good way of understanding the material again. They can rewind me again and again till they understand the material. And also what I believe in is that by having the website and having the YouTube lectures and being able to communicate through Twitter, what we have tried to do is to get the resources in many, many different contexts. So once you have, let's suppose if I have a YouTube lecture, I have a textbook chapter, I have multiple choice question exams, I have simulations, you have developed worksheets in different languages. And if the student is able to see the same topic in different contexts, it has been shown by evidence-based research that it stays in your long-term memory as opposed to your short-term memory. What that does is that when they go to another course where they need to use the course material, they're able to recall the information much faster than they would have otherwise.
Do you as an educator see this as maybe the direction that education is taking, where it is going to be, you know, the computer driven, where someone in, let's say, China can watch your lecture from here in Florida and pick up the material and just simply learn it that way as opposed to having to go to a brick-and-mortar college?
I believe that the brick-and-mortar college is here to stay, especially the good schools. If you look at Ivy League schools, they are here to stay. No matter how much we think that the computer or videos are going to replace the instructor, the instructor-student interaction is extremely important. Let's suppose somebody watches a video and he develops some conceptual knowledge of a subject matter. It may not be the right concepts which he is developing. Time and again, I use clicker quizzes in my class, and I have assigned people to watch videos. And when I give the clicker quizzes in the class itself, I find that 50% of people are choosing A and 50% are choosing B. So I think that the mode of the instructor-student interaction may change, but I don't think it's going to be a replacement.
Now, there are professors like you, and there are Fulbright scholars around the university. What does it say for USF to have professors like yourself? What does it also mean to the students here?
Well, to the university means that we are putting emphasis on the trinity, which I call as research, teaching, and service, that we are putting emphasis on all three, and we consider all three to be important. For the students, it means that they are getting individual opportunities. As you already mentioned, that videos are available for courses, so people might simply think, hey, I can take my 40 courses on the video and finish my degree. But the individual opportunities which are now arising, whether it is doing research with the professor as an undergraduate, whether it's to go to study abroad, whether it's to go for an internship, whether it's to go for a co-op training, all these opportunities which are now available to the student, they can be only available in a brick-and-mortar place. And I think with all these awards being given to our educators here at USF, it shows that they are doing the right things to take us into that direction.
It's also my understanding that one of your other pet projects is making sure that low-income students have access to higher education. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about that, please?
Education should be available to low-income students as well. Time and again, we see that many of the opportunities do not go there, whether it is to be able to support them through grants such as Pell Grants, or whether it's to develop loan programs for them so that they can return them in a reasonable amount of time. About 34% of the brightest students do come from the top quartile. We still have 17% of the brightest students coming from the lowest income quartile. And to give them the opportunities to be able to get a decent undergraduate education, I think that's an obligation of society.